Item 3, from the director, Milwaukee Art Museum, presenting the Milwaukee Art Museum renovation plan update. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Gentlemen, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. I'm Dan Keegan, director of Milwaukee Art Museum, and with me is Jim Shields, design principal from HGA Architects. When we were here last month to present to you some preliminary images representing the change in program from an event space to a multi-purpose space, we said that we'd come back when we have more information to show you the specifics of how the exterior of this east entrance piece will look. And so I'm pleased to turn it over to Jim Shields so he can show you some images and walk you through that. He's also has a three-dimensional model that we can actually walk through it if that'd be of help to you all. So we'd be happy to do this and allow as much time as you'd like, Mr. Chairman. Just tell us, okay, enough already, or and we'll be happy to do that.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this presentation. Thank you. Mr. Shields.
On the screen behind you, or in front of you, for some of you, we have an image of the current War Memorial Art Center. On the left is the water of Lake Michigan. In the right center here is the original 1950s War Memorial Eero Saarinen wing, which also had a base to it in which the museum was originally housed. Then here is a mid-1970s expansion. And it's in these sidewalls, north here and south there, that is all the offending ductwork that you just heard about. And to the top of the screen is the 10-year-old Calatrava expansion, as it was. And what we're talking about here is an expansion out to the east on this lakefront. Currently, this eastern wall is not one of the high points of the Milwaukee Lakefront experience. It won't be on our tourist guides right now. It involves a lot of blacked-out glass and also glass that's not in great shape. It's a leaking system. And throughout this past winter, we have condensation and even frost forming on the inside of the wall all over the place. So there are a number of issues that we're really trying to deal with from an environmental perspective here. Here in a computer-generated image, which you can see the Calatrava addition in the foreground, the 1950s original War Memorial, and the 1970s expansion, we're talking about a modest expansion that would go from here out to here to create an east entrance to the art museum. As you're well aware, in the last decade, there's been a new lakefront path built and a huge expansion in the number of people moving up and down the lakefront in any of the warm months. And right now, the art museum does not have any entrance that allows people on the lakefront to come into the museum. And it seems appropriate time here to allow that to occur, again, given the huge expanse of people biking, hiking, running up and down the lakefront. The expansion that we're talking about has on its first floor an entirely transparent, open, and glassy public series of public spaces. That includes a north entry here that allows the over 200 car parking lot that currently exists to the north of the War Memorial to allow people to park there and enter the museum directly. Currently, if people park in this north lot, which is the economical parking that's on the lakefront right now, they have to travel about 5 football fields in length to get back to the permanent collection. And considering we have an older crowd that loves the museum, this seems to be a problem. So now people will be able to park in a spot right there and walk in this north addition, and in about 100 feet be at their favorite painting. We also have an east entry that comes in the same vestibule. We have an entry lobby, and then we also have a coffee shop where people can take a break from looking at the museum or take a break from a cold, as we'll find out later this week, a cold May day on the lakefront, and come in and have a cup of coffee looking at the lakefront we can imagine this as being the sort of city living room that we all wish we had. And at the south end, even an exhibit space where exhibits, artwork, and industrial design that's part of the museum's collection that is can be brought out into light, like stone, glass, metal objects, such that someone walking down the lakefront could, at nighttime, even see some artwork on exhibit. Currently, there's no artwork that can be seen from a public way, and this would change that. And then on the second floor, a new changing gallery that will bring people up to the very under-visited second floor right now. Some of the best stuff in the museum, the Bradley collection, is up on two. People aren't going up there. If you've been up to the second floor, it's you and a security guard frequently. And so moving a changing gallery up there, we're trying to draw thousands of people up to see some of the best stuff in the collection. But we also have lobbies that entered into that changing gallery and exited, where people can get elevated views of the lakefront. We are taking up some open space. Again, it's not very nice open space. It's this open space that we're taking up right now. But one thing I want you to know about this exhibit is that every square inch of public space we're taking up with this addition is recreated as a public plaza up on the roof. And that's at the level of Mason Street up in the city. So people will be able to walk off of downtown onto Mason Street and on a level without coming up a ramp, get onto the roof of this building and overlook the lakefront. And so, again, we can imagine that public space that's not very nice now lifted up to this lakefront plaza for events and just for people coming to look at the lakefront, overlook the Calatrava, look down into the water. We're talking about cladding this in a dark metal, in part to work with the dark concrete and very dark concrete out of which the 1950s work was made. And so we're sort of joining this, we call it a recessive color, this dark gray, that allows the Calatrava addition to be a gleaming white monument on the lakefront, this being more recessive, more humble, muted in their color and warm tone gray, matching with the concrete work that was done in the 50s and 70s. We're also doing a lakefront plaza here with a grove of locust trees. We'll have outdoor furniture there so someone could take a break as they walk along the lakefront. They could come outside with a cookie and a coffee and be in this lakefront plaza, the kind of amenities that currently don't exist right now. We're also talking about bringing stairs in for the first time. Right now, when you're up on this plaza right up here, there's no good way to get down. This is a stairway right behind here that would allow people to view the lakefront and then walk down the stairs. There are two elevators in the existing War Memorial, and as you know, they've really beautifully fixed up the north entry, so someone coming down those handicap elevators could come through a new six-figure lobby that they've just renovated and then come down a new ramp that we're proposing to build here so that veterans in wheelchairs, for example, could go to a plaza-top event, take those elevators down, and then come through our new ramp down to the lakefront walkway here. We've also talked about copper as an option to produce this warm, dark metal. By the way, I think we're looking at the zinc, which is shown in most of the renderings like this one. I mentioned that we have a coffee shop, such that as people walk by on this 17-foot wide lakefront walkway that was built a decade ago, they'll be able to see activity and life and even some artwork here in this corner gallery here. And that's currently, it's that blacked out glass. You don't get to see anything. So we're hoping to have this warm, inviting sense of life in the building that's protected from glare and excessive solar gain by this overhang, by the way. That overhang allows us to have this transparency since we're protected from excessive summer gain throughout the warm months. Here from the north, you can get a better sense of the stairs, where there's a family up on this looking down at a school of brown trout. I'm a fly fisherman, by the way. And they're going to then, to get down there, they can take this stairway down, and they come out actually under our overhang. We're also expecting that in the warm months, in a part of the lakefront that doesn't have much shelter, you have to go all the way to the McKinley Marina to find some of the first good rain shelter here, that our overhang allows people to take shelter in a thunderstorm. And And so we think that when one of those blows through on a July day, we think we're going to have 40 people standing and looking into our gallery here or stopping in our coffee shop. I also, as Dan Keegan mentioned, have a digital model that I'd like to show you, and I can walk us actually through this. You can get a sense here of the Calatrava expansion, the 50s and 70s wing, and then our modest east addition here, or east entrance. And to give you a sense, I can take you down at the lakefront walk. This 17-foot-wide lakefront walk, designed by Dan Kiley, one of the greatest landscape architects living before his death about a decade ago, did benches and trees that we're proposing to maintain in their entirety here with the 17-foot walkway unaltered. As people move along the lakefront here, you can get a sense that we would really have some art on display and a sense of openness and transparency that currently doesn't exist. Even seeing into a second floor gallery where the beautiful modernist sculpture collected by the Bradley family would be on display, some of it in that window. So again, you'd have a sense of what this building is. Currently, it's a completely blank concrete wall facing the south. And actually, one of the things we're doing, that concrete wall comes to right there. We're covering up 24 feet of that wall to try to reduce the impact of that. And I think Director Keegan has also suggested we might get creative with some vines. That's a possibility that's been used in other parts of the wall to green up this lakefront and reduce the impact of the sort of unrelenting concrete wall. When we're close, you can also get a sense of this stairway that comes down from above and brings people out through this wide slot and down a stairway to the lakefront walkway here. This this stairway, and I think I can briefly take us up and look at it here, from other perspective, is a very open stairs. We're proposing to build it out of open metal grating to allow ice and snow to fall through it, and also allow people to from on top to actually look down through it and make sure that there's no one waiting for them. We've also cut holes in this wall to allow for people as they descend to look over the lakefront. And these lantings cantilever on out. So as people come down the stairs, they can stop in like a Romeo and Juliet balcony and overlook the Calatrava addition and the lakefront behind. Yes, romance isn't dead. From inside, you can get a sense even from the second floor, we're producing windows that people could overlook the lakefront in a way they can't now. Currently, from the permanent collection, there's no place to look back south and see the Calatrava. So we're trying to repair that and allow people to see one of the best views in the lakefront from the art museum here. And that's true from the first floor as well, where there'd be art on exhibit here that could take strong daylight. But again, a fabulous view over the water and over the Calatrava and over the Kiley Walkway, things that currently don't exist right now. At some point, we come slightly over the walkway and close to it, and we're proposing to have a kind of moment of great discovery here. As you come from the north, walking or jogging or biking, you come under the this art museum addition and suddenly open up into this space, that there'd be a moment here where you would come in and view the Calatrava in a full frontal way. And it's an exciting moment, first of compression and then expansion, to see the great Calatrava Art Museum in this way. We're proposing also to green up the roof that I think you've seen before here. Currently, this is a fairly unrelenting sea of concrete pavers. We're proposing to have a lawn up here where people could sunbathe or have a picnic with their family, and also some other sedum plants that flower and even turn bright orange and red in fall. And this is a courtyard that we're currently infilling, a courtyard that's been leaking with water for many decades here. So we're proposing also with contrasting paths to also connect the current court of honor that was sort of sundered from the lakefront by this sunken courtyard. These paths we're proposing to build that would connect the Veterans Court of Honor with the lakefront directly. We've shown them this plan. They've approved it. They're pretty exciting about reconnected with the water's edge. And again, we're continuing to have paving here for a big fireworks event. The veterans set up bleachers, and they're pleased with this plan that allows them to continue their activities, but better connected to the water than they are currently. Here we also have a stairs that comes up from the lakefront walk to a plaza. We'd have some a movable furniture up there that people could rest and have a cup of coffee, and a lakefront entry that currently doesn't exist currently. So I think there you can get a sense of this new east and north entry. And again, from the parking lot, a handicapped person could be driven right up here, come right directly under the 11 foot of rain cover into this north entry. We think we've got a modest but really successful entry that really improves what is a dark spot on the lakefront right now. I'll turn it back to Dan for any summary comments.
I'd be happy to open it up to questions. I know Supervisor Alexander had a
That's a wow. That is a wow. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to my question from the previous item, can you help me understand, or help all of us understand, if the change in design was brought on at all by the change in which repairs were going to be able to be done, or what brought about the changes from last month to this month, and how will the inability to do all the repairs immediately impact your plans?
Well, speaking for the museum, and then I'll turn it over to Jim to answer specifically about the architecture and design piece of it, the major change was from an events-only East Atrium, which was the initial concept, to the one that you see here today, which is two-level. As we ran our analysis, it became more and more clear to us that an event-only atrium doesn't serve the public well. It would be a space reserved for those who would rent it. And after all, we are an art museum, and we recognize that by a simple change, an important change from a single open atrium to a two-floor design, we would, in fact, have more space for the art as well. So both more public space, more accessible space, and more art space seemed like the win-win for us. Jim?
Yeah, I think I believe we actually have the same or slightly less volume than we had originally. And actually, generally speaking, air conditioning and air heating is done with air volume. So I think we might have only slightly more complex ducting in here, but the same volume of the when this was an event atrium a year ago. I think that while we haven't seen a detailed listing of the cost overruns for mechanical, I want to call your attention to this blank concrete wall. When this was built in the 1970s, they poured concrete on the outer wall, and then in the bottom 18 foot here, they did concrete on the inside as well, actually precast concrete. And in between the two concrete walls, they built all the ductwork, both vertical supply ducts and return air shafts. And my understanding is that accessing and replacing that ductwork, which everyone had hoped would be possible, is a big part of the cost overruns. The biggest problem is that you actually have to demolish the concrete from the inside of the building, take it down somehow, to access that ductwork and rip it all out and replace the insulation. So that has nothing to do with this addition, actually. The ductwork in there is just feeding the existing permanent collections. That has to be done whether we build an addition or not. So, again, we haven't seen a detailed analysis, but the replacement of this ductwork, actually, I've been asked if I can call the old architect who's retired down in Tennessee and ask him if he knows how we can take the concrete down. So I'll be making a call to Tennessee soon. And so it really has to do with, I think, the biggest part of this, as I understand it, is just repairing the ductwork that maintains the existing collection.
the rate we're going, maybe you ought to invite him to Milwaukee. Thank you for that explanation. For what it's worth, I think that from both a practicality standpoint and aesthetics, I find this design far more interesting and appealing than some pictures that we had seen in the past. I'm very impressed by this and look forward to the changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Rainey, then Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No design provides a lot more accessibility. Was there any security measures taken into consideration for this design? It seems there's a lot more windows, a lot of opportunity for something to go awry with this design. Can you tell me a little bit about what your security vision is?
Well, I think that we certainly have, the museum has certainly budgeted for a security guard to guard this entry, and right now we have a design for the this east entrance here that allows for a single security guard to really govern all the entries into this collection. So we've been pretty careful about that. I think other than that, we are right now we have been we're being very careful about the selection of glass products that go in here in terms of wind loading on the lakefront, in terms of wind-driven rain. So I think while we haven't moved through construction documents on here, we have a real eye towards those issues. I think in terms of public safety, we've also been very careful about soil borings, making sure that the foundations for this, which will be like 90-foot deep piles, will produce a really long-life building. So we're talking about grade A construction for this project.
I would only add, Supervisor, that the museum has 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year on-site security, including electronic monitoring in multiple points. This glass element here is therefore no different than what we have in the current situation, which is a glass east addition, which, though vulnerable, is very closely and very actively monitored, as are all of our glass entry points to the museum across all three buildings.
Good news. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, gentlemen, for this presentation. This paints a very different picture than what we had previously seen, and I'm very glad and that more consideration has been given to a lot of important details in this design that is reflected in what we've seen today and what I think we can infer from the, especially through this, seeing this 3D model before us. I found it very curious to say, Mr. Shields, you noted there was going to be a lakefront view on the top now, from the top here, that was accessible from Mason Street. So one could walk from, say, Water and Mason straight down, perhaps once the Northwestern Mutual construction is complete, straight to here.
That's right.
Excellent. And then I believe, sir, you've also shown us the answer to this. I was curious about accessibility to the lakefront itself from the roof there, and also disabled access. I believe you touched on both of those. If you could please elucidate.
Yes, this is the original war memorial here, and the war memorial allows people from the Mason Street Bridge to walk under it, under these columns to the side, and there's a passageway right in this area, and they can get to the Court of Honor there and then out to this plaza. But underneath the war memorial here, I'm sure you're aware, there's an all-glass lobby right there. And in that glass lobby are two recently renovated elevators that drive through all the levels of the 1950s war memorial. And what they've done is this lobby right here that actually just used to be a loading dock and a security entrance. It was pretty grim. Some of you might remember it from like before 18 months ago. The War Memorial and the veterans have recently renovated this whole lobby into a really nice public lobby and gallery. They have a gallery, as I mentioned, where they're showing artifacts of of the different wars that they commemorate there. And that new lobby, it even has a luminous ceiling and a travertine marble floor. It goes right to those elevators. So a person in a wheelchair who came from the city, for example, they can come right in this glass lobby, take the elevators down. They come right out here, and then they would come down this long slope and our ramp to get to the lakefront. The veterans talked about adding another elevator over here themselves, and after really working through it, they decided, why are we doing this? We've got two good elevators that are in a heated building. And also, they didn't want to block views. So we talked about adding our own elevator right over here on the left, and we then met with the veterans, and they didn't feel there was a need for that elevator. They think their veterans should just use the elevator in their heated lobby and in their newly renovated first-floor lobby. Also, most of these spaces right here are handicap spaces. So the handicap parking is right by this lobby entry. So we think we've got a good take on this right now in terms of accessibility.
Thank you for that explanation, Mr. Shields. I do appreciate that. Are the accessibility options, are they currently clearly marked and visible so that someone who approaches it, say if they're in a wheelchair or otherwise differently abled, can easily find it?
I don't know the answer to that, and I think we do meet almost monthly with the War Memorial, and I think that's something we could discuss. There are really big no skateboarding signs, so you know I think other information of the type you're talking about could be conveyed.
I would say, Supervisor, that currently it is not adequate in my view. I think this definitely will be part of the overall wayfinding and signage design decisions to come. In part, I suspect it's because the east entrance on the Kaler Edition has been closed for many years, and so that lake walk traffic to try to get up top is really not part of the mix of consideration. But I would expect that would change with proper signage in the right places.
Excellent. Again, I think the work that is happening, has recently happened on this, is leading to great improvements here. And I know you're cognizant of the needs of the many here and the few. So I'm glad these will be taken into account. And Mr. Shields, if I may say, sir, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thing that makes me sad, okay, about this whole thing is that in this community, we had a legendary sunbather, a gentleman by the name of Richard Bacon.
Dick Bacon.
Dick Bacon, yeah. The only guy I knew whose last name was exactly like his skin. Anyways, I can just envision him in February with his shields bathing up there.
Beers and everything.
Someways, as I drive by the lakefront, I can still see the ghost of Dick Bacon.
Oh, yeah. Well, we might have put a statue.
For a moment, he still haunts our...
Among the reflective panels.
Yes. Yep.
That's a beautiful thing.
He was an icon.
Lifelong walk-ins, we stand together with Mr. Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Are there further questions?
That's all I have to say, Mr. Chairman.
That was pretty good.
Thank you for that, for that gruesome comment.
Oh, yes.
Further questions by committee members? Well, thank you much for that edifying presentation. That's it's beautiful work, in my humble opinion.
Thank you, Chairman.
I am a fine arts grad, you know, visual arts.
Are you going to take any comments from the public if there was any?
Pardon?
Take comments from the public or not at informational end?
We take comments from the public, but no one filled out a card to comment on this. So having that, thank you,
thank
gentlemen.
You,
and we'll move on to item